you for listening and tuning into the Greenhouse podcast on whatever platform you happen to be listening to us on. Just a quick primer. I did a first primer from my car a few weeks ago, and it's horrible. But one of the things that we're building here culture-wise within Greenhouse and also just as a whole is a one-take policy. That means if we mess up, if the recording goes wrong, if it goes long, if there's a pause, whatever happens, we are recording it. Why? Because we're lazy? No. Well, I mean, maybe. Maybe because we're lazy. But another reason, I know a lot of us probably have heard of Gary Vaynerchuk. And one of the things that stuck with me back in his early days, and Gary, if you happen to listen to this or any of your team listen to this, I still talk about the pairing of Captain Crunch and Rizzling. And guys, if you or anyone listening to this is a foodie, go and find the Wine Library TV. Go and find the episode where he does the pairing, the wine and cereal pairing. It's weird. I'm telling you, it's weird. But the Captain Crunch paired with the Rizzling is freaking culinary genius. I promise. Anyway, so the early days of when he was building Wine Library, one of the things that I really appreciated, in fact, what made me a fan, was the fact that he did one take on everything. So when he was doing the white pepper and he got the white pepper in his eyes and just crying everywhere, like I love it. I love the authenticity of it, and that's something that I want to carry over here because I think it's just the reality. It's the reality of the way business goes. I mean, not every phone call, not every sales pitch, not every interview, presentation, etc. Is going to go textbook, right? You're going to get some great ones in there. You're going to get some ones that are just like, man, I phoned that one in. And it happens, man. It happens. So, and that's the biggest part and the biggest, I guess, underlining culture of the Greenhouse podcast is I want it just to be real. So the folks that we bring on are going to be not just practitioners. So I was having this conversation with Will Patrick, who will be a guest on the show pretty soon. He his office is also in my building, and he's a content writer and doing some stuff pretty high level deal, working with some pretty high level authors. I'm pretty sure I can't name drop, so I'm not going to. I'll let him do it on his episode if he chooses to. But you know, we're talking about, you know, I want to have people on that. One, I'm sure that they're not theory. I'm sure that they really are who they are because there's a lot of that crap on the internet now and everyone's talking about it and it's just super true. Second, I don't even want practitioners who have like won and they're talking about how they won. I want practitioners who are like in the trenches today. I want folks that when they're done with my podcast recording, they literally hang up the phone, hang up their iPhone, and go back to executing whatever it is they were just talking about. I want people like, I want to get you, the listener, as close to ground zero of people actually in the trenches building and building at the highest levels possible. Like, these are people that are just freaking going for it. And that's what I want. That's what I want to listen to. And hopefully, that's what you want to listen to. And if not, you know, there's a ton of podcasts out there. Have at it. I'm sure you'll be able to find something that suits what you're looking for. But as for me and mine, that's what we're going for. So thank you a lot for tuning in. And I think this is gonna be a fun ride. Little update on Greenhouse as a whole. This Thursday, so today is April 1st, April Fool's Day, and this is not a joke. Well, hopefully it's not a joke. Hopefully I'm not a joke. The goal is to launch V1 of Greenhouse's platform on Thursday, this Thursday. So that would be what, 4th, April 4th. That's the goal. So I will be working around the clock between now and then, getting this thing ready. And our first version, what's exciting about it is when I first started Greenhouse, so I started tinkering Greenhouse last May, as a lot of you guys know, and folks who are familiar with Greenhouse and the story and et cetera. And for the ones that are not, I'll probably do some episodes later, but there's a lot of content floating around online, YouTube, things like that, where it gives you a pretty decent amount of the backstory. But originally I thought I was going to have to build for the Enterprise first, because I thought I was going to have an infrastructure issue. And recently we had some breakthrough on that, and so we were actually able to deliver to the maker, I call it the maker community. So this is, you know, consultants, founders, self-employed owners, companies under 10 employees, you know, really the backbone, the spine of our culture, of our economy globally, not just in the U.S., globally. These are folks I'm really passionate about helping. I think there's a lot of upside to what they do, and I'm really excited to see what Greenhouse does and taking some of these folks and helping them go from, you know, an individual contributor to pretty significant scale should they choose. I think a lot of people probably use Greenhouse just to really make it a lifestyle business and make it a great lifestyle business, and that's awesome. If that's what you want to do, great. But I think for some that are going to want to scale something pretty substantial, Greenhouse is going to be the tool that they have been looking for. And hopefully, the goal is, if you're becoming an independent, you're starting your own company, Greenhouse is going to be a platform that will allow you just to plug in, and you don't have to think about sales. You just have to focus on producing whatever product or service that you're great at doing. And that's the ultimate goal from a practical level. Obviously, there's, you know, we have a lot of missional goals because, you know, of what we think is coming in terms of disruption because of automation and artificial intelligence and that sort of thing. But in terms of the practical part of it, our goal is to create an ecosystem that is end-to-end, global, connects every kind of supplier you can think of, and we create a community of folks that trade with each other, and then also we use that in concert to be able to create enterprise level solutions to go and sell against the giants in the various industries. And we're super excited to compete at both levels, and I think it's going to do surprisingly well. But I am an optimist, and I am the one building it, so I better darn sure be an optimist. Version one is going to be designed specifically for the independent, small business, consultant, etc. And we're designing it across 4 modules, and it's going to be a whole guided curriculum. And the difference is, this is not just going to be like, hey, here's the information, go build it. We are going to partner with you and walk alongside you and build it together, because the way that our model works, we really don't win unless you win. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're driving you home, and it gets really exciting for you guys. And we're stoked to see what happens. So anyway, thanks a lot again for dialing in and plugging into our podcast. I have lots of guests being lined up across a myriad of different topics, and we will be we'll be sending those along. So here, this is a good example of one take. I'm trailing, I'm dragging it out, so I'm going to cut it off now. Thanks, have a great day, guys.
Hey, Jonah.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I am good. How was you guys just got back from Caribbean, or where did you go?
We went to Cozumel, Mexico on a cruise, 5-day, 4-night cruise.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm jealous.
I took some sunblock, but apparently not enough. So people are like, hey, did you go somewhere?
But that's good. That's kind of a good thing, right? You wear it with a badge of honor, right? You're like, yes, I did.
Yes, I did. While you were slaving in the office, I was on a beach. So thank you very much.
So since we're actually recording, clearly people can tell that we know each other. So this is Jonathan Arias. I'll let him introduce himself in terms of what he does and all that good stuff. But you and I, we've known each other how long?
We first met in 2010, so it's 10 years.
So what? So why don't you tell the story how we met? Because I think your perspective is probably a lot funnier than mine.
Oh man! So I don't know. I don't know if you. All right, I'm gonna give him the.
Go for it. I don't care. Okay. I don't care. I have one. I just did this whole rant, just so you know. Like, I did this rant on a clip that will be in the front of this podcast when I put it all together. Because I'm still learning how to use the app that's talking about like a one take policy. So. I'm going to test it right now.
All right. Awesome. All right. So Jonah, for those of you who don't know him, he is a very, very passionate and driven. And when he has his eye on a project, he's going to get it done. And a lot of times that leaves other people not knowing what the details are, because he moves at his own speed. And when I say his own speed, it's lightning fast. So he's four steps ahead when you're just at hello, right? So he had a business partner at the time who I was close with, and I didn't know Jonah at the time. So Jonah is he's working on a project at that time, and he wanted to pull me in on it, and he wanted me to like work with him on it. And and so one day, the friend sends me a message, and he's like, "Hey man, we want you on this project. We're selling North America, we're selling Canada, and you know it's going crazy." And I'm like, "Okay, what? You're selling what? Like, I'm like, what are you selling to these countries? Are you on the phone with ambassadors to these countries?" So he was basically selling the product in those countries from his location. The way Jonah does it is really innovative. Anyway, so he basically made me a job offer, but I was like, "Oh, okay, well, yeah, I'll come by." And then all of a sudden he's like, "All right, this is where you're gonna be sitting. Here's your computer. Here's your login. I'm making you an email." And I'm like, does he know that I'm working for him, or does he think that I am?" So anyway, long story short, I figured out that I was working for him, and I had to tell him, "Hey, I have another job offer lined up in 2 weeks." And so finally he was like, "Hey, you should have told me." And I was like, "You should have told me that I was signing up for a job." So that was the beginning of our relationship. And then we worked on multiple projects since then. But basically he hired me without me knowing it. And while I already had another job offer pending. So
And I completely blame Ed for this whole thing, and Ed will come on, I'm sure, at some point. We'll be talking about finance or something, and which is the business partner that we're talking about, Mutual, because it was a lot, and I'm sure he got a good laugh out of the whole thing, because even to this day, he doesn't seem like it bothers him at all. He's just like, "Yeah, that was funny."
That's the type of guy he is. He's like, "Oh, okay. You're not here anymore? All right."
So, yep, that's actually kind of a funny little reoccurring theme I've noticed in our relationship as it's matured. Because, you know, to his point, like, we worked on lots of projects together, and I'd love you to get into where you're at now. But you know, it's been this reoccurring theme of like, if anybody else would have done that to me, like, you've seen me enough, like it would have been a very different outcome. and that's been a repeated theme, you know, to where like you always get the I don't know why. I really don't even have an answer for it.
I think it's brotherhood.
Maybe. So yeah, okay, so without further ado, what do you do? Where are you? What's your deal? What's your business?
Yeah, so I'm an attorney. My principal job is I help high net worth foreign nationals obtain visas in order to move their families and themselves to the United States through investments and businesses. So that's the bulk of what I do and where I focus my practice. In addition to that, I do business law, mainly transactional, and some litigation, but that stems from my relationships and what I do with the high net worth foreign nationals and helping them obtain visas. So if an individual wants to bring their business to the United States, obviously when they're looking for an attorney, then they turn to me. So that's the bulk of what I do on a day-to-day basis.
And it makes sense that you get those sort of derivatives because you become sort of the point of contact because you build that trust factor. So anything else that comes along with the business by proxy, you that stuff ends up flowing through you. Even if you use other attorneys for it, it flows through you.
Right. And that's the power of what I do, is really I become the point person, the boots on the ground for the foreign national, because they're not familiar with the terrain here. So I'm able to link them up with everything they need, their banker, their accountant, their realtor, person to obtain to get a vehicle from. It's just when you're moving your life, we don't think about all the people who we need in order to operate our lives. But when somebody's starting all over in a new country, there are quite a few people who they need. And so that's a big a plus in what I do, you know, apart from helping them get their visa to stay here.
And one thing I can say about Jonathan is you weren't always an attorney. In fact, you were the whole time you worked with me, you always worked with me on operations and things like that. So you're actually a businessman first that became an attorney.
Right, exactly. And so that's why the power of what I was just saying is what it is, because I was working from the business side first and always. That's always my heart. I'm a businessman who happens to be an attorney. And so I understand how business works. And one of the things that's most powerful in business is connecting people. I mean, I think that's one of the powerful things about what you do, Jonah, is, I mean, you help find people. I mean, that's kind of the core of what sourcing is, and help put people together to make deals come alive. And so with that, I'm an attorney, but you know, the legal work is kind of a smaller percentage than actually understanding people, understanding what they're trying to accomplish, understanding their businesses and why it makes sense for them to move to the U.S. and how I could help them grow and be successful while they're here.
So the topic for the podcast, which I did not preface to you before coming on, it was kind of like, the part of the reason I didn't was because I called you about it and you're like, dude, I'm literally on a ship right now. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. So, I have to ship it, you know, today. Like I'm leaving tomorrow, so I've got to ship the podcast. So we're just going to go off the fly.
Let's do it.
The topic is, so the first topic we did with Molly last week was on leadership. And so I'm basically right now, I'm trying to build the foundation. I'm trying to build the sort of the entrepreneurial playground that we're going to kind of build off of from Greenhouse. And I think one of the early topics that I wanted to go over is like, what happens when things go wrong? Because we see so much on from Instagram or whatever, that's pitching this whole success mantra for entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship all of a sudden is pretty sexy, right? And
right,
you've worked with me a lot of times. It's a grind. You know, it's not like, we joke a lot about like it's a giant crap sandwich, right?
That's that was the quote I was gonna say, is that's the quote that I always throw around that you said.
And you've had a bird, not beyond a bird's eye, you've been right there with me in, you know, various projects, and you've actually been in a company that was like my loss, my biggest L, my darkest moment. Mm-hmm. And you saw me walk through that. And so I would say, like, could you maybe talk through it from someone watching it versus, and like what you gleaned from that. And then also, like, as an attorney, you see the good and the bad of it, right? You see that, you see businesses that are winning, but you also see businesses that are not. Like, let's speak to what happens when things go wrong.
Yeah. So as a founder, I have a PhD in things going wrong. And when you look at any really successful company, chances are they're not what they set out to be. I mean, when you talk about General Electric, you know, one of the biggest companies in the world, you know, I'm sure that's not what the founder, Thomas Edison, was looking at. And even you talk about Airbnb and what they started off thinking and doing during the campaigns and you know, with the cereal and just trying different things and to becoming what they are today. I mean, things going wrong is kind of like that's the only thing that we can rely on. I mean, Jonah and I talk about it all the time that in order to be a founder, a lot of times you just gotta eat the crap sandwich. And so I just want to say that first before I get into my answer. Also, I want to say that that's the real power in a story. I know that's not what people like to publicize, but, you know, in reading biographies and studying what people have accomplished, the real power comes in the failure. And that's what makes any story good. The story that just has upside, nobody really wants to hear that because it's not attainable. The everyday man can't get there. But what we do and the way we mess up and the way Jonah has taken some L's and the way I have taken some L's, that's everything. That makes it even more satisfying once you accomplish what you set out to accomplish, which oftentimes is not what you set out to accomplish. It's just where you end up. So anyway, that being the case, so with can I talk a little bit about yep. your situation?
Sure.
Yeah, man. So I was there. I've had definitely my own sets of failures and you know, shortcomings and setbacks, but watching Jonah go through what he went through, and basically it was a partnership gone awry, and then there was a lot of things that were revealed that later made Jonah personally liable for a lot of money and a lot of shots to his reputation. And so the main thing that I want to impress upon anybody listening is that you have to be willing to put it all on the line. Like, I think the most powerful founders are the ones who say, I'm going to burn the boats and I live here, I die here, and I'm not turning back. And whatever consequence comes, it's going to be what it's going to be. And so, like, a lot of people run away with their tail between their legs. But one thing that I saw with Jonah is we had a lot of payroll that we had to cover for individuals. Even though the company went south, there were still people who were depending, their families were eating and living based off of the promises that were made. And Jonah personally covered, I believe it was, how long was it, 30 days worth?
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it's like from 30 to 60 days worth of salaries and benefits for a sizable staff with a sizable payroll. But he did it. And it's just like, okay. And so now with me, I've had similar situations where you can make the choice to honor commitments or you know, run away with your tail between your legs and that messes up your reputation in the streets. And that sucks. So I think, man, at the end of the day, despite things going south, the what I've learned is that you keep your integrity despite whatever's going on. You keep your integrity. So a company may go down, but you as an individual, your reputation is forever. And so by Jonah honoring those commitments, that made an impression on me to the point where later on he could come back to some of those individuals and there were no hard feelings. And so that's what I've learned. And that's the challenge, because in some of the business failings I've had, people are like, oh, they, I would have thought that they would have held it, taken things personally, but it was like, nah, it's just, oh, you're not doing that business anymore. Okay, what are you doing now? You know,
and sure.
To us, the failure seems so much more gigantic than to the other individuals who are watching from the sidelines. So.
Yeah, and going through that, like for me, like it was one of those situations where like you learn who you are, right? Because you learn it both, and that's both true, like as a person and then also as a business person. Like when everything is kind of falling apart and you're the center of the storm, like that's when you really know. You don't really know who you are until you're in that moment where you have to like really choose, like, who am I?
Yeah.
But then the second part of it is, going through it, it gives you a lot more confidence for future failures. Like for me, like I don't mind a failure. I just don't want to fail slow. So if I'm going to fail, I want to fail fast. Hard's okay, but I want to fail fast, because slow failure, that's painful. Those take a long time to unpack. If I want to fail, I want to go down in a blaze of glory, you know, and then take a little bit of time off, you know, pick myself back up and go for something else, you know.
That's essentially exactly what happened there.
Yep.
So how does failing fast play out? Like, give me an example of how you could fail fast versus fail slow.
So a lot of times, especially you see this a lot with companies who raise a bunch of money. Example, actually Greenhouse, perfect example. So you know, when I first started testing it, we signed what, like my goal was 50 supplier partners. I ended up signing like, I don't know, like 1,049 or something. It was something crazy.
Yeah.
But the problem with that was I could have raised a bunch of money and built a bunch of infrastructure, but I still wouldn't have known if I had anything, because I had the support. That was only one piece of the equation.
Yeah.
And it's a darn good thing I didn't, because when I started testing the enterprise, that's why I went so slow here, because I'm like, uh-oh, we have scale issue. I'm getting all the kinks out of it. Yeah. So if I would have raised a whole bunch of money, I'd have been burning barrels of cash right now, because I would have spun up a giant infrastructure supporting the supplier ecosystem while the delivery part's not there. Yeah, so a lot of times what happens is companies scale on theory.
Yeah.
And which means they die on theory. No, scale on theory, die on reality. That's really the phrase.
Yeah, true.
So if you test things small, you can iterate quickly. So it looks like you're actually turning things on, turning things off, but you're doing in small containments. It's almost like what's the lean startup methodology, you know, like where you're doing like these market tests before you scale.
Same kind of idea. Yeah. Gotcha.
So fail fast. Cause if you prop up a giant eco, like, you know, and you take your burn rate from, you know, whatever it is, just you and a small team versus you and a big team. That's a problem.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's
always been your MO.
Always. Yeah. Yep. So if I'm a listener and I'm in a, how would you say that we would know if the company is in a fail slow or a fail situation and you should change? Like, how do you identify that? Cause a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we have, our level of optimism is, maybe clinical at some point, sometimes, right?
Yeah.
What's your barometer? What's your barometer to know, okay, I need to make a move?
You know, what's funny is that, you know, entrepreneur, this is going to be a little sexist, but I won't make it sexist. And Jonah always gets on me about the fact that I say some wild things. But I'll say this: my spouse. So I won't say it's my wife, but your spouse, man. Like, I know that's the case for you, but a lot of times that's a good barometer. But outside of that, man, I'm an ops guy, so I'm gonna look at data. Like, data is it, because I can't trust myself as an entrepreneur, man. I cannot. You cannot. As a founder, like you said, our optimism is off the charts. It's clinical, and we could see anything. I mean, we drop us, parachute us into any situation, any city, any country, and we are like, okay, we'll develop a business plan in 10 minutes, and it's going to be the best thing to ever hit that city, region, state. Doesn't matter. But man, I really had to learn to embrace data. Like, I'm really getting granular into how I make my money and why I make that money. One thing that I liked about an old book, probably nobody's read, but it's Iacocca, about Lee Iacocca, the former president of Ford and CEO of Chrysler. And when he got fired by Ford, it was Henry Ford's grandson who fired him. And he said something to the tune of, I made $2 billion, and guess what? You'll never make $2 billion because you don't know how we made it. I'm probably getting the numbers wrong, but it was that sentiment. Is that the grandson of Henry Ford, who was the CEO of the company, he was really relying on Lee Iacocca to make things happen, and he really didn't know much about how they made their money. And Iacocca did, and he was like, "You'll never do it again because you didn't know how we did it in the first place." And so the thing is, a lot of times, man, we'll make a big sale and we don't even know how we made it. And we could say to ourselves, this is what I say to myself, oh, if I did it this month, I'll do it next month. And it's like, well, no, why did you do it this month? And let's see if that's scalable, if that's duplicatable. And so, man, that's everything, man. Like, again, from an ops guy, and ops is like the unsexy part of entrepreneurship. It's like, it brings us back to reality and brings us back to, okay, let's set a system in place so that we can scale this and duplicate it. But, you know, sales and coming up with business plans, that's the sexy part. But, you know, that's the only way we can know how we're doing is, you know, spreadsheets, data, and asking the key questions that more data will answer.
Right. Hey, I heard this morning, I can't think of his name now, the pastor of Mosaic, McManus or whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember him. He was saying that failure, I guess he has a new book out, Warrior or something. I should probably look it up. I'll put a link on the podcast. But he was saying failure is the material the universe uses for the future or to create something new. Like, it's created from failure. It's just the material for the next thing. And
that's real talk.
And I think it's to, especially when you look at the data, how many times have you built something and then you look at the data and you're like, okay, this business isn't working, but this piece here,
that's true.
Let's go build something with this because this resonated, and then you're off to something else, right?
That's very true.
Happens all the time. Happened in your practice, right? Happened in your practice now. That's how you ended up, kind of where, and you're marrying the business with, the immigration, because originally you were doing a lot of the consumer stuff,
right?
And then you married your business into it, and you're like, oh, I can because at the consumer immigration level, it's sort of there's not a lot of, and at least from outside looking in, does it like there's a lot of creativity that goes in there, or probably shouldn't be a lot of creativity. Whereas in the business side of it, it requires a lot of creativity because. Exactly. Depends on how many people are, what countries are coming from, what does the investment look like? Is it an EB-5? Is it an E-2? Whatever the case may be, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it's more of a mill at the consumer side versus more of a, I guess, a bespoke, tailored solution on the business side. So absolutely. Yeah. And I, you know, I was making a little joke about, you know, about a spouse, but that, man, I cannot stress enough how spouses, my wife in particular, I know your wife, Jonah, and the people close to us, man, they're good at letting us know, hey man, this is not working. And when everything in our being is like, no, this is great, it's working out great, and they're like, no, I don't see the way it's gonna work. And when you go against your spouse's insight, it's like, it ends up not working. It's like, man, they have sixth sense.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, but it's absolutely true only for your spouse. True. I think it starts and stops there, because parental advice.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right.
Forget it. Talking to cousin David, forget it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
That, cousin David, who doesn't even understand your business, they can't even tell you what you do. Like, so what do I do? And like, my mom doesn't know what I do for a living. Like, can your mom right now, if someone were to ask her, like, hey, what does Jonah do for a living? Would she be able to articulate it?
I mean, you got to be fair, man. Like, I have a hard time articulating it. So
true. But yeah, to your point. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So awesome. Well, hey, man, thanks for coming on short notice. And folks who are listening, Jonathan will be a reoccurring theme anytime we're talking about leadership or operations or scaling or legal or any of this stuff. And you know, immigration right now, we're global. Greenhouse is global from day one. So we've got a ton of folks all over the world that I'm sure as their company scale, we'll be looking into the U.S. market, and you know, we'll bring you back on for resources and some of the things that they can do to,
awesome.
You know, do it smarter and things like that. So,
yes.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, man. Well, thank you very much for dialing in, and we'll be circling back soon.
All right, brother. Thank you, man.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.